Let me feast from the Father's supply. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful we can come back together around your table, Lord. How good it is, Lord, not just to pull up to the food, Lord, that you have prepared, but those brothers and sisters that gathered around the table as well, Lord. We are so thankful for your word, Lord. How it separated us, Lord, and made us so different. How it's transformed us, Lord, in this hour. How it's made us so very different from the world, Lord. Not something we could have done, Lord. Not a false sound, Lord, but a true sound. One that comes from the inside, Lord. It's not worn just on the outside. And Lord, we thank you so much for it, all that you do. Pray you'll bless the word tonight to us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I pretty sure I heard Gabe singing out here this morning. So, praise the Lord. And him and Aspen kind of close sometimes. And Aspen, I know she sings. We were coming back one Saturday from my mom's. She sung the entire way home, the whole way home. So, I know she likes to sing, and I am trusting when she gets older, she'll use that for the Lord. Amen. Gabe too. Amen. And it's good to be here tonight. It's good to see all y'all. And as usual, it's the Wednesdays and the week. Satan tries everything possible, you know. Yes, sir. So, I mean, when Brother Don had asked me, I said I could do Wednesday, and I was thinking this Wednesday was better than last Wednesday. And I forgot we had our all-week planning meetings this week. And so, I was supposed to go do something with the group yesterday, and I didn't feel comfortable where I was yet. So I said, I'll have to go. I have things I need to do. So I went on home and studied, but it took me 2.5 hours to get home in the traffic. But I have the tapes, so I'm all the way home with the tapes. But and it was the tapes that I started hearing something, and I heard some more this morning, and I didn't get it in here, and I already had so much now, and it took me 2 hours to get home today, and so I was wanting to cut some more and just couldn't. So if I seem a little unprepared tonight, then that's probably why. But as much as we can prepare, it's not about that anyways. Amen. It's good to see y'all. I ain't seen Brother Bosworth in a while. But congratulations, Osneth. Going to go over. And that'll be good. Your dad will be there, and that'll be good. So, all right. So, we've been at home. We've been going on Wednesdays. We've been going through the seals. And when we got to the fifth and sixth seal, we started bumping up on some things that I had started going back and looking at Gabriel's visit in the 70th week and some of these different things. And I couldn't preach on it all at once, but so I started on Sundays going through the 70th week. And so y'all are going to be on the third one here. But I want to read from Isaiah first. We hear a lot of times, I didn't put this scripture in there, but he talks about it there in the first quote. But Brother Bram talks about how that Jesus went into the temple that day, and he read from the scripture that the priest had given. And when he read from the scripture, he stopped. Brother Bram said he stopped in Isaiah 61:2. And so let's read and let's read where he stopped, and then let's read past where he stopped. So this is what Jesus read to him that day. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. So he's telling you what the anointing is on him for. Amen. And he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Amen. This is what he's anointed for. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped. And you notice there's a comma right there. He didn't go any further. Because the next is, and the day of vengeance of our God. Now you think about this. This is all his scripture. Because Brother Bram said the first part was what he was anointed to do there at his first coming. And after that was judgment, he said, at his second coming. And so let's finish reading the third verse here. And the day of vengeance, our God, to comfort all that mourn. So there's going to be a day of vengeance, this judgment, but at the same time, he's comforting those that are mourning. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, where they're in Zion mourning. To give unto them beauty for ashes, to the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So in the middle of this judgment, he's given them this too. So some are being judged, and some are receiving these things. And this one I particularly enjoyed. That they might be called, he's doing all these things, that they might be called trees of righteousness. I'm going to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and garment of praise for heaviness, so that they may be called trees of righteousness. Amen. Who is the righteousness of Christ? We know. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. They were planted of the Lord that he might be glorified. And so the 70th week, as we know, Brother Bram said, he was that the Messiah is cut off in the midst of the week. And so we find here both sides of the 70th week. We find where he came in the first coming and where he came in the second coming. So let's go and look at what Brother Bram said there in that first quote here, because he talks about this. And I know y'all have all read this message and listened to it. And we know how peculiar that scripture reading was, because he just took a portion of the first and second verses of Isaiah 61:1 and 2, but he read down this far, where the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bind up the brokenhearted and to heal the sick and to open the blinded eyes and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he stopped. For the next was to bring judgment. The next brings judgment. At his second coming. That would apply to his second coming, not his first coming. So I just find that amazing that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him even as he read the scriptures, so that he read only that. And he stopped and turned around and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. How direct that was. Now you can go read those messages, and that's a very strong message right there. And I want to point out before we go any further, though, that he preached this message, this day the scripture is fulfilled, because when he was bringing the message, birth pains, which was just the week before, let's see, just a few weeks before this, it was sometime in January, He brought the message birth pains, and when he went to read the scripture, which was a different scripture, wasn't this one, his Bible pages stuck together. And I know most of y'all know this, but the ones that don't, it's very significant. And he just got a new Bible, and he was flipping the page, and it wasn't there. And so when he went to turn the page, he couldn't find it. And so a priest come up on the platform and said, here, he said, be still, my brother. God is fixing to speak. Amen. And Brother Bram said he didn't know he prophesied. That's right. And he said he hands him the book and he reads the scripture and he gives it back to him. Yeah. And Brother Bram said, I never thought anything more about it until he was on the way home and started thinking about it, and it hit him what it was. And the scripture about Isaiah came to him, that where Jesus read from Isaiah came to him. And so I particularly pointed this out because when Brother Branham brought that message, birth pains, if you go look, he's talking about being born out of Laodicea. If you go look, he's preaching to the businessmen, and he's preaching really hard in that message. It almost sounds like a farewell message. I mean, it got harder when he preached in Los Angeles a few months later. But when he's preaching this message, he's telling them in no uncertain terms, they have to come out of this mess that's there. Yes, sir. And it's not going to get better. This happening is a birth. Amen. It's a birth out of this. And so I'm pointing that out because I find it striking that he was talking about the birth of the church out when he's also, the Lord is bringing to his attention the second coming, the judgment and stuff. So a lot of people, when you talk about the coming and you talk about the rapture, they'll start agreeing with you until you get to the part where you start talking about tribulation and judgment has already set in. Because the scripture says judgment is set and the books are open. Amen. And so if you got the books open, which we believe the book was open, yes, then at the same time, it's judgment. Right. Brother Bram said, when the church goes up, judgment is judgment. Mm-hmm. And so it's tribulation that's poured out. And so that basically is the 70th week, is the first coming and the second coming. And so we saw the first coming. And so what would mark the second coming? That's where you want to see. And, you know, a lot of people will go along with you and say they're in the rapture and the rapture's taking place and they'll say all these things. But then you start talking about the tribulation. No, they back off. But you can't have one without the other. If judgment has come, if God has stepped away from the Gentiles and turned to the Jews, and Brother Bram said you cannot turn. He said the same motion, and I'll read you the quote tonight, the same motion of turning to the Jews is turning away from the Gentiles. Right. He said it was like the sun or the moon or the sun, and it, as it goes around, as it's leaving one, it's going to the other. And so there's no pause in the middle. There's no anything. When he moves, he moves. Amen. And so if we can find here where Brother Bram said that absolutely he turned away from the Gentiles and that judgment has come to them, that they're in judgment, then what should that tell people? Yes, sir. I mean, there's many other places where when we look at the scripture, we see the man of sin couldn't be revealed until the seals were open, till this last day. And there's so many other places in there that, you know, Brother Branham preached the message, modern events made clear by prophecy. Yes, sir. So when you see the modern events and God interprets them for you by the prophecy, then you realize what time it is. Amen. And so, I mean, that's why we have the prophet. For that, he come to point these things out, but it took that little seed down in there before you could ever really know these things. Because Brother Bram said that when Moses spoke, he said That word that went out was a seed. It's a germatized seed because it came to the prophet first. Brother Bram said he put it in Moses' heart. He put his thought in Moses' heart, and Moses spoke it, and it became a word. And that word got written down, got passed down from generation to generation. It got taught from children to children to children on down until one day it became our Lord Jesus walking around. And so the word is powerful. And the word for this day is no less seed than those were. And so let's read what he had to say today. Because I'm telling you that because you need to receive that seed. Amen. That these words are.
Yes, sir.
Or it won't impregnate that's there now. It has to happen that way. That little sister, Brother Bram said, that little sister at the well, he said, when Jesus come, he said she had that word in her heart that when Messiah comes, he'll do these things. And then that word that had been written down by the prophets and passed down and now had lodged there in her heart, and God had made it something real in her heart. Now comes Jesus, that word in front of her. And he said, when he spoke, when he did that sign of the Messiah, when that word became real in front of her, no longer words anymore, but a man that was those words walking around. That when that happened, those words crossed over and come down and hit that predestination. And he said, it spoke back. She had words that she didn't know where they came from. She had recognition that she didn't know where that came from. And it changed her. Brother Bram said it redeemed her. Right there. That's the words he used. Redeemed right there. And brother, he couldn't give them all of it back there. Even though he was all of it walking around, they couldn't receive all of it at the time. But today,
yes, sir.
Today is different.
Amen.
And so let's look at what he says here in Shalom. Darkness. This Laodicea church age. It's dark. The last church age. The church age is to the Gentiles. It's the last one. Now, when Jesus, which is the word in the Laodicea church age, was on the outside of the church knocking at the door, trying to get back in, darkness, gross darkness upon this people. Was the Bible right? The perfection of the scripture, glory of his great name, the Pope's visit was a sign of the churches blackening out his manifested, the manifested light of the world was the Bible. So what is he referring to? Because this is in January of 64. This is Shalom. So he's referring to when the moon was blacked out when the Pope went to Jerusalem. So it's just happened a couple of weeks before this. And if you go back and you read the message, it's like the second message there before, it was called, "There's a Man Here Can Turn on the Light." Look at the dream that Billy Paul had and he put in there. All right. We're going to come back to that in a minute. The Pope's visit was a sign of the churches blackening out his manifested. Who is his manifested? There's going to be a man, a messenger on the earth who's going to be that manifested.
Yes, sir.
Because every age there was a messenger, there was a Luther, and he was the manifested for that day. And every one of those children that were born into that day were born to see the manifested. And then it was every age was the same. They were born to see Moses, the ones that saw Moses. And so the Pope's visit was a sign of the churches blackening out his manifested. The manifested light of the world was the Bible. So he stopped with his dot, dot, dot. He's going to explain it a little more. The manifested light of the world was the Bible. And what did he say the Bible was? the entire revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said he was the light of the world, and the Bible said that he is the Word. And the manifested or vindicated Scripture is the light. So what is the church is blackening out? His vindicated light, which is the messenger of the age. The Word always comes to the prophet. The Bible said that he is the Word, and the manifested or the vindicated Scripture is the light. Now, you'll not be permitted to do it when it takes a hold. You won't be permitted to worship this. And we've seen it foreshadowed, told by inspiration before it happened, foreshadowed by the moon, and now it's happening, and here it is taking place. We saw it foreshadowed, and it's been prophesied, and here it is. The hour is upon us, darkness, gross darkness. It's upon us. Gross darkness, where? On the people now.
Yeah.
And if you go back and look at that dream that I just mentioned, which happened just a little over 2 weeks, he pointed out that Billy Paul had a dream, and he said it was given to him of the Lord. And he said, in that dream, Brother Branham's driving up the mountain, and he said, there's a light on the mountain, and back behind him is blackness on the whole earth, just covered. Blackness over the whole earth as he's driving up this mountain. And he said, there's light on the mountain. And he says, he gets up the mountain, and he pulls off, and he gets out, and he says, Lord, I do this at your command. And he said, he made a motion to the mountain. And when he made a motion to the mountain, the light that was there cut a rock out of the mountain with our hands. And it came and smashed the kingdoms of the world. That rock did. This one that he called for. Now you look what's happening. Here he comes and the moon's blacked out there in front of the world. Brother Brown said there was no light in this one. He said back there he drew it with a little light. This time there's no light. Gross darkness on the people now. That's what it is. What does it all mean? Where are we standing? What does all that mean? What hour are we in? How close are we to the coming? Well, you see, when all they have a revival, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. It's his will to give you the kingdom.
That's right.
Remember what we read a while ago. Make you trees of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
What does it mean? God has began to separate the light from the darkness. That's what this means. That where he's went over here and the Pope has went over here and it's blacked out the moon, it means God has began to separate the light from the darkness.
Right.
How's he doing it? See, pressing it behind like he did in the beginning. What did he do in the beginning? He separated the light, the day from the night. Pressing it behind like he did in the beginning to show the dawn of a new day. He's pressing it and pressing it to show the dawn of a new day. Now, this is going to be significant in a minute because we're going to go back and we're going to pick up where Brother Branham talks about way over in the Old Testament, God starts at the head. And he goes down and down and down until he gets to the foot of the cross where Jesus Christ is man. And he said, and then he starts from the feet and he builds it back up again. And he said, he builds it back up again till it comes back to the head again. And he said, the last thing that's added to the body before the intelligence comes is the eyes, that you might see the light that's coming. Isn't that something that a body that's built for the entire church ages, because that's what it is, it's built for the whole church ages, don't have eyes until the end. Because you can like feel light on your skin. You might sneeze if it gets on your nose. But you can't know what light is until you have eyes.
Amen.
And so Brother Branham said this entire time of the church ages had a dismal light. He said, but the same light that was at the beginning comes back at the end. He said, it's the same light the whole time, but you can't see it like he saw, they saw it back there in its perfection until it comes at the end again. He said, just before Sodom is burned, the Son of Man comes out again in full brightness. All right, we'll read that here in just a little bit. Began to separate the light from the darkness, see, pressing it behind like he did in the beginning to show the dawn of a new day. The church ages are fading out. Pardon me. The church ages are fading out. God is pressing the darkness into a place. It has to do it to fade out the church organizations, fade out the world. Fading out the world too. The world is covering the thing up, or covering the thing over, and worldliness has took the whole thing. Then isn't God right? Isn't he right to be doing this, to be pressing darkness out? By worldly things and worldly dressing and worldly acting and worldly living, it's the world. He'll press into everything. We have to stay with him. You are not of the world, little children. You are of heaven. This is not your home. So if he's pressing out the darkness, you can't stay with it, darkness at all. That's what he's talking about. You won't want anything to do with it. Gross darkness, blinding of Israel, was the lightning of the Gentiles. This is what I was telling you a while ago. Now the blinding of the Gentiles is the lightning of Israel. They're the same. The blinding of the Gentiles is the lightning of Israel. It's just like the day and night. One side has got darkness. The other side has got light. And then the light comes over on the other side. The moon passing the way it did, and the reflection of the darkness of the world blinding out its light is a reflection to us. He's talking about this moon again. The moon being blacked out when the Pope went over there. Is a reflection to us that the Gentile church age is finished. And then later on in questions and answers, they'll say, Brother Branham, if the church age finished, should we just quit preaching? He was like, I think you misunderstood me. The church age is not over, he said. So you can take what you want. Right here he says it's finished. But he also says it's went into chaos. If it's chaos, God left it a long time ago. If God was there, it wouldn't be chaos. Is a reflection to us that the Gentile age is finished. The church is making herself ready, been making herself ready for the time. It's time for the rapture. For darkness is fading upon the Gentiles, and dawn will soon break upon the Jews. The sun has traveled from the east to the west, and we're on the west coast. The light can only do one thing, go back east on the other side. You understand, do you? The light can only go back east again. Now, what light is he talking about? He's talking about the spiritual light. Because he's talking about sin. And he said the west coast was the sin curtain. The light can only go back east again to where it began at. Israel. It has to go back to Israel. Now, we talked a while ago about the Son of Man when he was here the first time, and the Son of Man in this day. And Brother Branham, if you go look in, I can't remember exactly what your messages are, but I think it was in Souls That Are in Prison, where he talks about the first, second, and third pull. So back there, if you'll go back and look and see what he said when the Jews' hour came, the fatal hour for the Jews, when was that? It was when they were standing out there and they said, give us Barabbas. That was it. That's when the second pull was finished. Because Brother Bram said the third pull was when he preached to those total lost that were down there. Okay? So the Jews were cut off at the end of that second pull. Is that right? And so what did Brother Bram say happens in this day? That first pull was one thing. The second pull was this. And what was the third pull? That was this message. That was the That was the coming. That was the vindication of this prophet. That's what he said. All right. I mean, that's significant.
Amen.
The light can only go back east again to where it began at Israel. God blinded them for a while, but the darkness now is pressed upon the Gentile world. He blinded the Jews for a while, but now the darkness is pressed on the Gentile world. That's covered the whole thing. The Gentiles will trod down. Now listen to this. The Gentiles will trod down Jerusalem until the Gentile dispensation will be finished. Jesus said so, and now it's finished. Is that definite or what? Gross darkness upon the people. And think, just a few weeks later is when he throws the rock up in judgment. And we're going to get to what he says about that in just a minute. That was, if this ain't enough, that ought to be enough. Because we're looking at the last half of the 70th week. Or is the world under judgment? Because Brother Branham said that when that turned, the Gentiles come under judgment like that, that the message has went to the Jews, and while that's going on, the bride's being married in heaven. That's what he said. So we you're going to believe these things by faith. You're not going to believe them because you got things intellectually lined up, and you can go get a collection of facts and you can prove out the facts and do this. That's not how come you're going to believe it. That little sister who, we got that picture on the wall and I keep looking for it. We, at home we have a picture of the woman at the well. And so I often look up and see it and think about her. But that little woman, when she was standing there and he come up, she had nothing. She had nothing. And she was already nervous when she walked up. Because she walked up and here he is and asking her for something. Here's somebody down here when she's going down here so she don't have to go when the rest of them's going. Because she don't feel like she's, you know, worthy to be with the rest of them. And so she goes down there and when she walks up, she has no idea how close she is to redemption. That might have been the darkest day she'd ever experienced. It might have been the worst one she'd ever come up to. And she had no idea. And she was just going to go get some water. Because she had to go get it and tote it back. And brother, she had much better water after that.
Amen.
She had enough to share after right. that. Brother Brown said that Jesus stayed there 2 days on her testimony. And that they believed that he never again done the sign of the Messiah, that many of them believed on her testimony alone.
Amen.
Now that's revelation, brother. Because that comes from the inside out. That's not something you collected in your head.
Amen.
That's not something you recited.
That's
not, you know, something we're boastful about. That's something he lodged down in there.
Amen.
And he made. He interpreted.
Yes.
He put that in her heart. I noticed when Brother Michael sent out some of his coats, one of them was the written epistles. And I thought about that. He wrote that word in your heart.
Right.
And he will interpret that's in your heart.
Amen.
And think of the day that you're born. Every one of God's bride has all the word wrote in their heart. But since it was a dismal day, the only part they could get was the part that was coming forth. And that's why they're not made perfect without us.
Right.
But we're living in the day when the whole word comes forth.
Amen.
He comes to make you trees of righteousness. You'll never be trees of righteousness on your own.
That's right.
Never.
That's right.
I always, people talk about, you know, they talk about becoming a Christian and everybody thinks about how good they are or how bad they are. It has nothing to do with how good he is. And that should be the only thing that comes
yes,
to mind. That's the only thing that should be there.
Right.
How good is he? And is he my Savior?
Yes.
Is he the one that lives in me?
Amen.
Because he is the only one that matters. He's the only one that's going to produce his word.
That's right.
And being the feminine, we are totally dependent upon him. Always. All right, I'm going to have to stay on this. Gentiles will trod down Jerusalem until the Gentile dispensation will be finished. And it's finished. God reflecting it in the sky. That the Gentiles are finished. And that the Gentile dispensation where they're trotting down Israel, that's finished. That both finished right there. We're not waiting for the Gentiles to quit treading down there. It's done. God reflecting it in the skies as he has shown it on earth before it happens. Amen. So this message, Christ is identified the same in all generations. And we pray, Father, that you'll save every soul that's savable in this country. Excuse me. While this meeting's going on. Grant it, Father. Then when the meeting's over, if we miss them, may there come a revival throughout all the churches. And hurry, Lord, come. We see the earthquakes again. Now, if you'll notice, the date on this is April the 15th. And the earthquake was March the 27th, which was Good Friday back then in that year. And so after that happens, Brother Branham doesn't mention that he threw up the rock and these other things for quite a few services. But he talks about this earthquake in very interesting ways. Now remember, he just got through telling us just a few weeks before this that what these mean, that this darkness on the earth. And we pray, Father, that you'll save every soul that's savable in this country. We got that. We see the earthquakes begin again, breaking up the earth in diverse places and men's hearts failing fear, perplexed of native and distressed and nations. And we're just at the end time. We think of the great earthquake the other day. And never has one like it only 1900 years ago. This Alaskan earthquake, there hasn't been one like it since the one 1900 years ago. And guess what he says? Oh, another Good Friday. When Jesus had been rejected by the world, the earth shook all over. God, he is rejected again. The earth shook the other day and the hills and mountains fell in. Cities collapsed, the water dashed in the air, and the whole world felt it. What will it be when you return, Lord? No wonder they cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us, is what they say. So there it is again. They've rejected him again. And there's an earthquake there.
Yes, sir.
To mark it. Let us be ready for that great homecoming, Father. And identified in the same generation, this is down in the same message at the end of the message. So he adds a little bit more. And his presence is here now. Now that's him. I just seen a man get healed just then. Just right then, with his hands laying on somebody else. See, it's just, what ought it to do? What ought it to do to see this man get healed like this? But you see, it comes into the time when Laodicea church ages on. If it was during the time of revival, it just light and go like that. If this church age wasn't over, Brother Branham snaps his fingers. That's how fast it would go. Just go through the church. But see, it come when he was kicked out of the church. This healing has come after he's been kicked out of the church. Remember the other day when that earthquake, you remember the Laodicea church age? Talking about that earthquake again. He's on the outside of the church knocking, trying to get back in. See where it's come? Do you see where it's come? He's trying to get back. He's wanting to identify himself to you. Now, how does he do that? How does he identify himself? Always by the message. He always comes by the word. All right, so modern day events made clear by prophecy. Remember, and I got some artifacts left over there. I was getting ready to post this one on the forum there, and I'm not sure if I did, but anyways. Remember, it was one word that caused the whole mess to come. Eve believed one word of God in the first of the Bible. One word caused the trouble. Jesus come in the middle of the Bible, and man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And at the end of the Bible, whosoever shall take one word out or add one word to it, at the end of it, see, at the end of it's when it's opened before us and you can't add one word or take one from it. It's not part of the gospel. The Methodists have part. The Baptists, Presbyterians, and so forth, they have part of it. The Catholic, in other words, it's not a part that we're looking for. Not a part of the gospel that we're looking for. So they had part of it. Catholic had part of it. Jehovah Witness had the rest of them. But it's the whole word, all the word. That's what we're looking for now, he says. If he's looking for it, then who put that in his heart to be looking for it? The word of the hour, what counts? That's what always counts, the word of the hour. And we'll never do it until God anoints a prophet that can stand and tell it. We'll never have all this word unless God anoints a prophet who can stand and tell it. And ain't that something? While the prophet's standing and telling it. And confirms him. And who confirms him? God confirms him. And prove it that it's right. He comes and tells it. God confirms him and proves that it's right. Now, what did he say the third pull was? It was the vindication of your ministry. That's what he told him up on the mountain. When he put that sword in his hand, he said, this is the vindication of your ministry. And remember what he preached on the seventh seal. What did he say? He said, when the seventh seal, he said, we only got one verse. Here it says, when it opened, it was silence in heaven for about the space of a half hour. He said it was hushed all over heaven. And he said, and he brought the third pull vision. He comes back and he pulls those two together. And he said, I never once thought about it. I never once thought that when he said the third pull was going to come, no one would know it. He said, I never once thought about that. And he said, here it comes and slips right into the scripture, right with it. So what are we looking at? What did he say in 1957, 58? He said, the Son of Man is being made known right now. But he's being made known right now in grace. First pull, second pull, grace. Third pull, preaching to the total lost. Seventh seal's open. When he opens the seals, where does he send it? Down to the Jews. Sends it to the Jews. But how does the Jews receive it? Hey, Brother Ramsey, it's in there in multiple places. Brother Keenan hit on this back in May, and there was multiple places. There was more places I pulled out. But Brother Bram said, when he comes in power for his bride, the Jews are going to see him.
Amen.
So when is he coming in power? When is he coming any greater power than the fullness of the word in this hour? And it's the Messiah that they are recognizing.
Amen.
They're recognizing the anointing of the Messiah. Not me and you. They're recognizing the Messiah.
Right.
Now, I'm not trying to preach Moses and Elijah and all those. Brother Goombas went through that. I know he has. And Brother Keenan's went through all those things. But I'm just trying to pull these ends together. Because Brother Branham said that he makes all his corners come together. Brother Branham said that when God folds something, you know, I know y'all, I've tried to help Katrina fold towels and stuff, and I do okay, I guess. But you got to make the corners come together, right? And I can think I'm making the corners come together just perfect, and look over and hers is much better than mine. But God makes his corners come together. Why? Because he's working on both ends, Brother Bram said. He's working on both ends. He got it. He is the interpreter of his word. He's the one who brings two things together. He's the one who parked Jesus that day at the well and brought, because he knew the woman was coming there. Brother Bram said he went 7 miles out of the way to sit there and wait for her.
Amen.
Have you ever read the message where he talks for the apostles? They're setting off at a distance, watching him. What is he doing? Why did we come all the way up here? You know, you should read that sometime. I left away. Brother Branham just turns it into everyday talking, and God is happening. God is happening. The Messiah, the God that made the world, went down 7 miles out of his way to sit and wait for a woman to come out who'd been married 5 times, he said, and none of them was her husband.
Right.
And he went down there to wait and tell her that he had water that she knew not of.
Yes, sir.
And that he could give her from that fountain.
Amen.
Brother Bram said that's why people miss it. Because it has to be some great something. And he said that's why I was listening today to this Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, where he said that God comes and brings his man on the scene, makes him act a certain way and speak a certain way, because he knows that will turn them against it. Because they're looking for something else altogether. He must have knew, he had it laid out, that I would be drawn to him.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, because I remember when I was a child, I'd hear his voice. Sometimes I had, when I was a kid, I had nightmares all the time. I mean, constant, at least 2 or 3 times a week, wake up in the night screaming and stuff. And my mom didn't let us watch stuff and things like that. So it was just Satan. And my mom sometimes would stick those tapes on, not for that. She just put one on to listen. And I cannot tell you how many times I fell off to sleep just hearing that voice. But it won't do you any good if you just take it as word value and you don't accept it. That is God speaking.
Yes,
it wasn't a man speaking. All right. Until God anoints a prophet that can stand and tell it and confirms him and proves it that it's right, it'll slip right through the people and they'll never know it until this happens,
right,
until this prophet comes. Just like it's always been. Until he comes and proves it, until he manifests it there. All right. In the message, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, I want you to notice, this is a very significant verse to me, because I wondered and wondered and wondered and wondered why for years. Why, Brother Branham said, for the scripture says, when he bowed his head and died, it was finished. It was finished. It was paid for. He didn't have to keep paying for it. He didn't have to go to the mercy seat to keep paying for it. He had already paid for it. So I wondered, why did he have to do that? Why did he have to go there if it was already paid for? I never could understand that. And I searched for years about it. And I found a quote and I thought, well, that makes... But it didn't quite answer it. One day I saw this quote and it answered it. And not only do I want you to see how well it answers it, but I want you to see what it says about today. what it says about today, if you think about it. The body must follow the head. It must follow the head. And why is he saying that first? As the wife follows the husband, being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve. That's why the wife has to follow the head. She thought she was all right. Eve was deceived. She was then the transgression. If there wasn't this type of Eve being in the transgression and we're the feminine, then here's what would happen, he says. Or the entire resurrection of the whole body. Are you part of the body? Every church age that's part of the body would have come forth at the day of the Lord Jesus when he came forth from the grave. If there was not this deceit here. So why was he back there? Because of this. So what happens when that's gone? When he takes care of that? What keeps the resurrection away then? Because Brother Bram says right here that if that had not been the way, that type, she would have came forth right then. So if he goes back there to redeem because of that, then when the redemption is done, what happens? The same thing that would have happened back there if this hadn't have been. I hope that makes sense. But he had to redeem her, which is his body. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. She has to be redeemed or she can't even see him. Now, we were talking about the eyes a while ago and the light. If you're shining light and I see it and comes to it, she has to be redeemed in order to come to him. Do you see it? Oh my, Brother Bram sees it. See, it couldn't have happened then. The redemption was going on. What about when the redemption is not going on anymore? What's to stop it from happening right then? Now, I know y'all know all these things. And I kind of am going this way because last time we were here and Brother Don was preaching, he was talking about he was trying to answer questions for some of the young people and different things. So I thought we would go this way. And also, Brother Goomba being there in Pakistan, I just kind of felt this may be some things they struggle with. So it was things we struggled with when we first started hearing it years ago. It caused lots of questions, things like that. Now you see the seals. Well, let's go back so we don't miss that. It couldn't have happened then. The redemption is going on. Now you see the seals. Now, where did that come from? He's talking about it, something couldn't happen because the redemption was going on, and then stops and asks you, do you see the seals now? When he says stuff like that, that's like, how does that go together? Brother, I might sit there for a half hour looking at those things and praying about those things. Every time Brother Holmes said, every time that he says, now listen, I'm about to tell you something. He said his ears perked up, you know. And we got the thing in the car now on your phone, and all of you can do it. You can boom, boom, and bump it back 20 seconds and listen to it 100 times if you want to. And many times you'll read something, and you'll like, I don't quite understand that, and you'll go listen to it. Oh, I see. Because of the way he says things. And you can't punctuate, you know, the way he like puts emphasis here or there or pauses and things like that. I mean, you put a comma in for a pause, and sometimes it may be a really long pause. You know, you can't punctuate the way we talk sometimes. And when he was in the mediatorial work, so you see the seals. When he was in the mediatorial work back there, redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed. So what has he redeemed? The book. It's the book he's redeemed. And why? Because you're written in that book.
Right.
Remember what he said about the word, the God's thought comes to the prophet's heart and he speaks it in his word? Where did he send this message to?
Amen.
He sent it to the prophet because it had to be spoke and be a seed.
Amen.
And be a word for the people that were at eyes today. All right. It come forth to get this book that he's redeemed. And all that's in this book would be him.
Right.
That's why he's redeemed it. It's his bride. It's part of him. All that's in this book would be him. For that's the believer. The words in the book.
Amen.
The words in the book is the believer.
Yes, sir.
I remember the other day I was reading along and Brother Brown said he was talking about one of the seals there where he was talking about Elijah thought he was the only one. And he said God reached down and pulled back the lids of the Bible and showed him 7,000. I thought that was, after I had read this, and all the words in there were the people of God. And then he reaches down and opens back the lids of the Bible and shows him 7,000. It's little things like that, bro. I can't tell you how those things affect me. I think it's hard to express that you can go for a long, long time and see the word and enjoy the word and those things like that. But one day, when he says it's him, it's God in word form, and then something happens to you.
Amen.
And you believe that. You believe it. Then, when you look at that word, you cannot get enough. I don't know how to say that any better. I'm not a very good explainer. And all that's in that, he came forth for this book of redemption. So he come back to get those words because there's fields. The fields in his bride that he has prepared. He's prepared them for this word. His time.
Yeah.
Now they can receive it. Now this resurrection can come. And all that's in that, he come forth for this book of redemption, whose names are written on the book before the foundation of the world, when he was slain as a lamb. And you think about all the places, you know, Brother Bram takes Revelations and he says, where does it come? He says it comes at the end of the Bible. It comes after the church ages are over. Remember, go back and look what he says about John. He said, John, if you go look at the islands, I mean not the islands, but the cities, Laodicea and the different cities that are the seven churches for the seven church ages. If you go look at them on the land there, you'll see them as they come around. And then if you look at the Isle of Patmos, where Revelations come, it's completely separated from the church age. Completely separated from the churches altogether. It's on an island over here by itself. And they couldn't get to. John was causing so much trouble to the Romans, not to the people of God, but he was causing so much trouble for them that they tried to kill him, tried to boil him, tried to do him. And then since they couldn't kill him and couldn't keep him away from the people, they put him over here on the island and figured they'd get him away. And I want you to think about what put him over there. That political power, that religious power is what pushed him over into that. And you look in this day, in the seventh church age, and you see what pushed God out of it. And when it came out, he's called up into what? Into the revelation, to bring the revelation. And Brother Brown said that when the Gentile church age is over, the bride's called up into the revelation. It's a type of John. But I don't think I brought that quote. At the rate I'm going, there's no way I'm going to get done now. So let me go get going back here. Christ is revealed in his own word. All right. quit sniffing it. Now we're going to read the scriptures in here. Now in the evening lights come. Now we notice that it'll have to be the same light. So when this evening light comes that he's talking about, it'll have to be the same light. That was in the morning. Has to be the same light it was in the morning. Because there's not one sun in the morning and another sun in the evening, in the afternoon. It's the same sun. Same sun that's in the afternoon is in the morning. The same in the morning is in the afternoon. Now, it said the day itself, the day between that time. So the day between the morning sun and the day between the evening sun, that time in between, will be kind of, like a dismal, dark day between the morning sun and the evening sun. It could not be called day or night in between that. Now keep listening. See, he's the forming, that's the forming of the body. In that dismal time, that's the forming of the body, he says. That in-between time. That's the forming of the body from the feet coming up. When he was here on earth, he was the sun, the lightness. When he was killed, the church took his place, then martyrdom, and went through the dark ages and began to build on the foundation coming out. Then, where does the sight come from? At the top of the head. So he started at the feet, just after the, when it's dismal. And now it's coming back up to the head. See the vision, Nebuchadnezzar, and I didn't get a chance to go pull that, and I was going to, but you can go read it. See the vision, Nebuchadnezzar, see him going down from the beginning of the Gentile age, where? From the beginning of the Gentile age. Now, where did you think that was? Because he kind of threw me for a circle on this one. From the beginning of the Gentile age, before the blood was shed, for them and made an atonement before the blood was shed for the Gentiles and made an atonement, they were proselytes brought in. So the Gentiles that come into the Israel, they were proselytes brought in. But notice it went right down to the bottom in symbol. See, brought it down. So he's talking about the Gentile body. And the Gentiles in the Old Testament, as it's coming down to the bottom, to the feet. A symbol, right down to the bottom in symbol, see, brought it down. Then it started right back, coming back, the church coming back from the feet, coming up. And what he says his feet is Jesus, when he become man, when God become man, that he was at the foot of the ladder. Now it's, now it's in the head time. Now notice the light. You can't see with your hands, yet it's a part of your body. You can't see with your ears, yet it can hear. See, it can do these little things, but it can't see. He's talking about the church ages now. The body's coming up through the church ages. It's the forming of the body. You can't see with the nose, yet it smells. You can't see with the lips, though it speaks. See, that was the Pentecostal age. They couldn't see, but they could speak. But now it's in the eye time, the seeing. See, there isn't one moving faculty beyond the eye. No more senses back past it. Is that right? The next is the intelligence, which is Christ itself, who controls the whole body. No moving, motion beyond that. See, everything else has moved. See, move your feet, move your muscles in your legs, everything. Move your ears can move, your nose, And let's come on down here. He's going to go past the hair here. And now we find out that that part you see, there is nothing beyond that eye. Now, let's find out. It shall be light about the middle day, he says, at the evening time. So what was light back there? And there is a dismal light all this other time. I love how he's showing us the contrast that's going on. He's not leaving any question. He said back there, all the way at the foot when it started up, it shall be light about the middle day, at the evening time. What is about the middle day? Question, no, is at the evening time. What is light sent for? You can see where, how to get around. Is that right? You can see how to get around. When you got eyes and you got light, you can see how to get around. What was the promise in this day? He promised that you would have his mind. You'd know, you'd have his will.
Right.
You'd do what he wanted or you'd do nothing. That's what he said.
Amen.
You got eyes to see. You're not feeling around in the dark. You're not trying to feel it on your skin. You can see it plain now. The light's here. Is that right? See where you're at. It shall be light about the evening time. See where you are right now. Where's the light? It's right there in the pulpit. Has been in the pulpit.
Amen.
Now, we take that now and compare it over with Malachi 4. He promised that there would be light come again in the evening time. See? For behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet, and he will restore the children back to the fathers and the fathers to the children. Is that right? Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, let's take Luke 17:30, and watch what Jesus prophesied here. As it was in the days of Sodom, it'll be the same. Now, he talked about the body a while ago, coming down to the feet, and then going back to the head. Now, watch what he says. As in the days of Sodom, it'll be the same. Now, he's taking the body. He's taking Elohim, showing himself back there, and he's coming all the way down to Elohim being flesh, and then coming all the way back to our day and showing Elohim today. Now watch what he says. Now remember, notice, this is the time, at the time that the Son of Man would be revealed. The revealing of the Son of Man. Now the Son of Man was actually revealed potentially. Look at this. Just for a few minutes there, just before Sodom was burned. He's talking about Elohim when he came to Abraham. Now, that man was Elohim. That was God. And Jesus is God. And God was revealed potentially right there for a few moments to talk to Abraham. In the investigation judgment, and there's probably several messages on that. Because of what he's saying, he became a man to say the things he said to Abraham and to bring the things he said to Abraham. To talk to Abraham, and he was preparing his Bible today too. I'm sorry, I keep breaking these things up. But you think about that. Brother Branham, when he said that you can see Jesus Christ in every verse in this Bible,
yes, sir.
If not, go back and read it again. He meant it. He meant it. I've seen him pull Jesus out of places. I'm like, how? How did he do that? How did he see it? You know, he'll tell you. The Lord showed him. In the investigation judgment, just for a little bit, the Son of Man was revealed. He said that's what those were when those angels come down. Investigation judgment. Judgment. Don't miss that. The Son of Man was revealed. The Son of Man, Elohim. Do you see it, church? The Son of Man, Elohim, was revealed just for a few minutes. For the next morning, she was burned. Revealed there in Sodom just for a few minutes because the next morning she was burned. For the next, very next morning, she was burned before the sun could come up again. Before she could see the sun. It was in darkness. All right. It needs no interpreter. For the Bible said that that God does his own interpreting of the Bible. It's no private interpretation, said Peter. All right. And all the scripture is divinely given. All of it is divinely given. You see what he thinks about what he does through the prophets. He thinks it's godly. Divinely set in order. And the whole thing is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The New and Old Testament, where they foretold of him coming, what he would do when he got here, and what he would do in this age to come. So that makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, like in Hebrews, there when Paul wrote it, he is God, Jesus Christ yesterday of the Old Testament. He is Jesus Christ today, manifested in flesh, and he's Jesus Christ forever in the Spirit to come. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He ever lives to make his word live. And you're that word that was in the book. Now, you know, that come out of the book didn't all just wait till this day to come out, because the seals were opening there. Brother Bram said the seal opened on the day of Pentecost, that first seal opened, and he sent it down. And so that was those people coming forth, being identified. But in this day is when the fullness of the word is identified, and they're all identified in that. He ever lives to make his word live. What he said it would do for the age, he is alive. What he said it would do for the age, he's going to make that live. He was alive in the Old Testament, manifested. I just want to let you see a little something here, if you can stand it. Watch when Jesus was manifested in the Old Testament, as we believe it, you preachers out there, you can argue with it, do whatever you want to, but I'm talking about what I think. When Jesus was manifested in the Old Testament, in theophany, in the person of Melchizedek, not a priesthood, not a person, the man. See, for this man had yet not been born, but he was in theophany. So he had no father, no mother. He was God himself. He was manifested in the form of a man called the King of Salem, which is King of Peace, King of Righteousness. See, he was Melchizedek. He had neither father nor mother, beginning of days or ending of life. It was Jesus in a theophany in the form of a man. Could you go that? He said, can you take this? All right. Then he was made actually human flesh and dwelled among us. So he wasn't actually made human flesh there, but he, Brother Bram said, showed the Son of Man potentially there. And dwelled among us in the person of Jesus Christ himself, born of the Virgin Mary. He came in the form, in that form, so he could die and went back into heaven. Now, in the last days, he has promised to manifest himself in the fullness again. There's the light in the morning and the light in the evening. In the fullness again of his flesh in spirit. He said more than one time that he's come down and manifested himself today the same as he did back there. More than one time he said that. For as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And what happened in Sodom? The Son of Man was shown just before Sodom was destroyed. Now, how is Sodom destroyed? Would you think about that? Coming out of the Son of Man, now look at Sodom, how it set and what taken place, and Jesus Christ being manifested in bodily form of his church today. See? Jesus Christ being manifested in bodily form of his church today. Doing the same thing, same work, same things that he did all the time, never changes, the eternal one. And upon earth today, he has manifested himself in human bodies, or human bodies that he has called and done exactly the same thing he done in sundry times and in times of flesh upon the earth. If that's happening, then that light has to be here. And going the same thing, doing the same thing today, because God in sundry times spoke to the fathers through the prophets in the last days through his son, Jesus Christ. In the last days through his son, Jesus Christ. See, the son being revealed in the last days. God manifested in flesh, setting just before Sodom's destruction. God manifested in flesh just before Sodom's destruction. Amen. The end of the Gentile world. Just before the end of the Gentile world. Now, I want you to notice something very clear, very interesting there. He said the end of the Gentile world. He didn't say the end of the world. He said the end of the Gentile world. It's Sodom's destruction. The end of the Gentile world. You see that? There is three manifestations. See, he said, what did he say? He come in mercy. What did he go, what did them two angels go down to Sodom for? To try to find 10. I think it was the number that they'd settled on was 10. And they couldn't find two, or just Lot and his daughters come out. His wife turned back. But what I'm saying is, he came and there was that little period of mercy. And then the next morning, judgment. And he's likening this day to that, exactly. Now the next thing happens is when it's all gathered up in that one person, Jesus Christ, bride and body at the physical return. So when is it all gathered together in the one body? At the physical return of the Lord Jesus, making his three times. And where does he put the physical return at? At the millennium. Making his three times. When he was brought on earth, killed, crucified, raised up, manifested himself in the form of his body, which is his bride. The woman. You get it? She's part of his body. He wanted to go get that book so he could manifest the other part of him. The other part of him. It'd been manifested in dismal light for a long time. It was time to come out of the dismal light. And with eyes, you could come to him. And you could be this word. The word could come forth from the prophet's mouth, from the prophet's life, from the vindication of what you're looking at. And you could receive that and become those words. The ones he, you know, I'm telling you, I don't care who in this world says that book ain't open and the seals are still need to be open. I am a witness to the fact that those words in that book are here and they're living. And so there's no way you're going to ever convince me the book wasn't open.
Amen.
The book is open.
That's right.
Brother, he makes a difference in your life. It's not turning the book over or turning a page over, as Brother Ram talked so many times. That's just changing. Change your mind. You're going to do a New Year's resolution. You can hear them doing those things now, you know. I'm going to do this. All right. I'm going to do it, you know. And if you do it, that, you know, that's great. But Brother Brown, I was reading the other day. And Brother Ram said that he, after service, there was a Pentecostal preacher come up to him and just tore into him about this girl he had playing the piano whose skirt was a little short and her hair was short and her dress was see-through. You could see her underclothes. And she just tore into Brother Branham. How could you have her on that piano? And Brother Branham said he knew she had the right spirit. And he said, what should happen is the pastor should hit it, he said, And then the sisters should go to her in love and talk to her about those things. I know that's really good, but that's not where he stopped, and that's not why I'm telling this story. Because what he said was that man had a piano player that had, he said he had long hair, never been cut, a dress to the floor, and he said she had a temper enough to bite a buzzsaw and was just mean, he said. And I'm not a prophet. I can't look at somebody and tell you if their heart's right about something. But I believe that if he said her heart was right, then he knew somewhere she'd get it. And I know for a fact that he told that brother that was smoking them cigarettes, yes, to come down here and be baptized and don't try to stop. That's what he told him. Mm-hmm. Don't try to stop. Now, you want to take some legalists and turn their heads around. Yep. Do that one time. And see, in the same thing, somebody else decide to do the same thing and come and not stop, and it's not of God. But Brother Bram said he saw in his heart what he wanted. And he said, you come on and you let God take care of that. And he said, you know the story. About a month later, it left him. He fell out of a tree and about broke his back. And Brother Branham said, go get this man some cigarettes and take it to him. And he's like, he wouldn't smoke them. And because when he turned them down, he never wanted another one after that. And brother, you can preach on that one too, I'm telling you. But the point was, we try to make Christians on the outside. And if we think they're looking good on the outside and acting good on the outside, then, oh, we got a Christian. When that ain't it, amen, brother, that's not it. Those signs will be there. Right. If God's in your heart and he's bringing forth the word, those signs will be there. Brother Bram said the Holy Spirit won't allow it.
Amen.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
There's too many Christians on the outside. And the same thing can be not just with dress and clothes and all these other things. You can say amen to this message, and if it ain't a part of you, you're just pushing air around.
That's right.
With your voice. But when it's a part of you, it will change you. Your whole life will be different,
amen,
brother. You won't be able to help it. Everything you do will be different.
Right.
All right. I said I wasn't going to go off, and I keep going off the... At home, Brother Michael, Katrina, and Martha, they've been real kind to me, and I'm getting longer and longer and longer. And so I've been talking more, and so I just want to stay on the message here. And we're not how we, oh my. Just a few more minutes. Yeah. You get it. She is part of his body. And the woman and man is just so close together till they're just, they are the same. They are the same. They ought to be, anyhow. Where they are, see, they just exactly manifested the same. They manifest the same. What did Jesus say? Now, if you want to know what the same is, go look what Jesus said. Jesus said, I do nothing unless the Father first shows me. We got the word. We know how to live. He showed us. You come up on a situation, you don't know what to do, and he's not showed you, then just don't do nothing. But Brother Brown, I mean, Jesus, go read what he said. I do nothing unless the Father first shows me. And the way he approached the people, he said, none can come. You know, Michael, I think I saw your title was that... All the Father's given me will come to me. Yeah. So he knows. So we sometimes we'll come up on somebody and we'll think, should I witness to this person? If you're thinking that, maybe you should. You probably should be talking. Yeah. Because how many times have you went up to somebody and not think that?
Right.
I'm sorry. They are the same, brother. How can we read these words
Brother Bram said, I just saw a man healed right there in the congregation. And when in the past, when you see him healed, it would just rip through the whole place because of faith. But we read these words and sometimes I wonder if they're getting old to us or something. I hope not. Amen. If it's the guy, if you got that fountain in your heart, it can never get old. It can never run dry. They ought to be anyhow. There they are, just exactly manifested the same. She's part of him because she was taken out from him. She can't be nothing else. The bride today is taken out. Now, I was just thinking about that man again, and I might as well just talk because I was just thinking about that man again. And so many times, and I've said this before, but I want to drive this home. Because I hear so many times, I'll talk to somebody and they'll say, well, I'm doing the best I can. And I'm like, I wish they could see. They don't need to be doing the best they can. They could be doing what God wants to do in them. Because he wants to do these things in you. It's his word. He wants to bring his word to pass. And he's looking for that place to do it. He wants to bring it to pass. Every promise of the day, these words that we're reading right here, he wants to bring these to pass in you. That's what he wants to do.
That's right.
But if you don't want them, or you're shrinking back in fear, I can't do that. No, you can't. See, we need to get your ability out of it altogether. It's nothing to do with your ability. Mm-hmm. He had to get rid of Moses before he could even use him. I mean, what more perfect setup was that? He'd been raised just like that. He could teach them. He was as smart as them. He was in the house. He could do all these things. But that's not the way. See, it was God was going to deliver his people. And so I want you to catch that. That's what I want you to see. When you read these words, they're not a burden you put on your back. But these are free words. These are words of freedom because you read these and these are describing to you the life that God is going to live in you.
Yeah.
That's how you have to bring them in and accept them. They're a seed.
Right.
They're a seed. And he said them, he wants to bring them to pass. And you're the feminine. There's never been a more feminine on earth than it is right now. There's never been a group of people on this earth that should understand Hebrews 13:8 more than these people.
Amen.
If they're part of him. All right. So the bride today is taken out from the body of Christ, which is acting, doing just exactly like he said it would do for this day. The bride, the queen, king, and queen. All right. We're getting late now, so he's going to move on. All right, the entire Bible, we're almost there. The entire Bible is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ. So when he went and opened that book, what did he open? He said he opened it because the words were his people. They were him. So when he opened the full revelation of himself. That's the seed that went out. The entire Bible is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ making himself known to every age. He made himself known in the days of Luther at the foundation, the church, the foot, the legs, like he did King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember how he dreamed those dreams and come from the head down, see? He comes from the feet up in the Babylonian kingdom. He showed those things. Now, and I wanted to, okay, here we go. In the Babylonian kingdom, he showed all those Old Testaments. He came from the head down until he came down till God himself become flesh at the foot of the ladder. Now, here in the New Testament, he brings himself right back up again to the head again. What did he tell Peter? Upon this will I build my church. Upon the revelation of who he was. And the revelation of who he was dismal all these years. But now, when he showed who he was, oh, they could come then. Now, here in the New Testament, he brings himself right back up again to the head again, the head of gold to be crowned. Look, you get it? See, God was in the beginning, and he kept coming down through prophets and on down until God himself, human like us, plumbed down at the foot of the ladder, a baby born in a manger, hated, rejected, despised, and a bad name, and everything he was. Then he started rising, and from the feet he began to build the church, the bride, coming back, on back, now coming into the headstone, where it all joins together and makes the one great transfigured bride of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to read this last one because I want to read this other one. So one second. I posted this one on the forum today, so you can go get it off the forum if you want. But when I read this about the headstone, I got to read this to you. I heard this on the way to work this morning, and I do not remember ever hearing this dream ever. I've listened to all these messages more than once, and I do not remember ever hearing this. I don't know how I missed it. All right. This is in, let's see. It's in Christ Revealed in His Own Word, and it's paragraph 160 and 161. I don't think I put that in here. Nope. I skipped it. All right. So here we go. A little lady here, she don't belong in the organization or this organization. That's the way he said it. If you go listen. Belong in this congregation. She comes from somewhere else, and she come in this morning, got a picture there. She gave it to my son, who was very much astonished. I don't know whether she ever heard about this or not. What is this? I don't know. She had a picture of this angel of the Lord that was on the seven church ages, seven seals opened out there when it did. So he's talking about the cloud. And said, looked and said, here's what she told him. She looked back through there and she seen that standing in the sky. In the sky, in a dream. And she looked back there and seen somebody in white marching forward behind it. Marching forward behind this cloud. And said, she looked and she said, Brother Branham, it was you. Marched there and said, behind you was people of different colors, packing banners, Georgia, Alabama, all different kinds of places, marching forward, coming up into the headstone to where Christ was being revealed into the vision. Do you ever remember hearing that? I don't remember. And in the last days, the last hours of the days, do you see him now in his word? Do you see him now? And all his word made manifest right here before us. Do you see it? We're marching into the capstone. Look who's saying this. Oh, church of the living God, get to your feet. Believe him with all that's in you. Hold to that little wheel in the wheel. Now listen, what is the wheel in the middle of the wheel? What did Brother Brown say that was? The soul. He said that's the soul. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. So the spirit and then the soul. He says that's the wheel in the middle. He said, hold to that little wheel in the middle of the wheel. Let it stabilize every move and every motion you make. Amen. Now this is talking about this age. Every thought that you have, may it be controlled by this tower on the inside of you, because God is setting right in his word of this hour. Amen. Who is the word? What did we just say? He's setting right in the word of his hour, the people. Amen. That the word come to. I couldn't get over that one. I had to run it back and listen to that one several times, and I couldn't post it on the forum quick enough until I got there. And I was like, and when nobody said anything, I was like, oh my, maybe I misexplained that or something. I tell you, that's so good.
Amen.
To think about those things. To see that marching up into the headstone.
That's right.
He is leading us up into the headstone.
Amen.
That's a message. That's the message leading us up into the headstone. If that's not the light here,
right,
and you seeing the light and receiving the light, I just don't know what is. But
yeah.
All right, I done held y'all long enough, and I start to apologize, and then I don't. But I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate him so much. I know you do too. Every single day, he gets more real. You think he can't. You can't understand how he could, and yet he does. Every single day gets more real. The word, it means more every day. The hour feels closer. He feels closer. I mean, it's just, I thank him so much. Let's stand and... I want to sing something, but I don't know what to sing. Let's, if y'all got any, y'all would like to sing. Brother Michael, you know one you want to sing, Brother Michael? I'll try to sing it if y'all just suggest it. What's that?
I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. There we go.
I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all playing in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and fire for service came. And what he did for them that do, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
You know, Brother Bram said that about the sixth or seventh day in, they started to say, well, maybe I did get it. I felt a shiver come up my back. So the same Satan that's here today that tries to sell you short was trying to sell them short.
That's right.
But was there any trouble recognizing it the day it come? There was no trouble recognizing it. There was no guessing. There's no wondering. And he's the dissolver of doubt. The dissolver. It's not a dismal day no more.
That's right.
It's darkness all over the earth, but it is bright shining. The bride never leaves his presence. He's the light, and we never leave his presence. Amen. All right. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I pray that you'll take these little broken up thoughts, and you will help someone to understand, Lord, to see that too many people are waiting for certain things to happen, Lord, when you want to do far more for them than they ever realized. Lord, the birth of this day, far greater than any other day, Lord. This day is the book. If we're born by the word, Lord, it was in this day that the complete revelation was brought forth. He revealed himself, Lord, and we are a part of that. And Lord, we thank you so much for our eyes being open and light shining bright, Lord. May you go with us from here. Keep us safe as we go home. Keep each brother and sister the same, Lord. We thank you and ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.